You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 35, Why Children Need Fortitude, The Virtue of Fortitude. All that and more in this week's podcast. And thank you for tuning in to The Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to challenge us all to think about the virtue of fortitude, especially the virtue of fortitude as it relates to children, little kids. And we're going to explain why that is and how it's affected our society in a negative way. But we're going to start off with our joke. So, Father MacGyver heard that the Benedictines had opened an amazing fish and chips restaurant in downtown. And it was the first Friday in Lent, and Father MacGyver wanted to support their worthy endeavor. So, he and his parochial vicar got into his Lincoln Town Car and drove down to St. Benedict's Fish and Chips restaurant. Father MacGyver ordered a basket, and sure enough, as he began to crunch into that hot, fresh, fried filet, he realized this is, in fact, the best fish and chips in the entire world. So after his meal, Father MacGyver wandered back to the kitchen to congratulate the cook, and he saw an old priest with an apron on. "Excuse me, Father, I say, are you the fish fryer?" "No, I'm not, I'm afraid. I'm just the chip monk." Get it? Because fish fryer, like a Franciscan friar, and chip monk, like Benedictine monk. Okay, all right. Sorry, I wanted to explain it. Sometimes people write me and they're like, "I didn't get the joke." So there it is. He's not the fish fryer. He is the chip monk. Well, I've got a couple announcements here. One is I'd really encourage you to participate in our podcast listener survey. So far, we've had a lot of people participate in that, and it just tells me what you like, what you'd like to hear more about. Some of the shows have actually been inspired by you, the listener, and I go through that survey regularly to see what you're saying, and always trying to make this podcast even better. So if you've participated in the survey, thank you. And if you'd like to participate, I'd really appreciate it. Just go to taylormarshall.com and click on Weekly Podcast. At the very top of that post is a link, a URL link. Click on that. It'll take you to the survey. And it's really short. You know, it'll take you less than a minute. But it helps me know what you like or what you don't like, and maybe some topics that we could cover here on the show. So please do that. And again, thank you to everyone who's filled out that survey. Really helps me hone in the show. Also, as usual, people are signing up for the pilgrimage. It's awesome. I can't wait to go with you guys and to have fun and to pray and to learn. And you can reserve your spot without even putting down a deposit, I believe. If you go to pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall, we're going to go to Bethlehem, Nazareth, Galilee, Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, Golgotha, the Holy Sepulchre where Christ rose from the dead, and we're going to renew our baptismal vows at the Jordan River and our marriage vows, if you bring your spouse, at Cana. So again, if you'd like to reserve your spot, I would encourage you to do that. There's not unlimited spots. You know, we only have so many places. And if you'd like to come with us and have a great time in the Holy Land, we're going to learn, we're going to have it's going to be basically, I call it a pilgrimage, a retreat, and continued education. I'm going to be having some teaching moments during the day and also in the evenings at dinner. So this is going to be a great opportunity. If you've ever wanted to go to the Holy Land, this is the pilgrimage. Don't miss it. We'll be hanging out in the Holy Land, learning about our Lord Jesus Christ and the people of Israel. It's going to be awesome. So again, pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall, Marshall has two L's. Also, we have some really cool things going on in the new St. Thomas Institute. I wish I could reveal them, but I can't. We've got some really neat updates, some new things that are going to make the new St. Thomas Institute even better, more variety, some new content. It's going to be a surprise, and we're not ready to roll it out yet, so I don't want to announce it, but I want you to stay tuned. Hopefully, in the next few weeks, we'll make the big announcement about the new St. Thomas Institute. But I do want to go ahead and give a shout out to everyone who signed up as a member the past week. So a shout out goes out to Jeff Fox. Welcome to the new St. Thomas Institute, Jeff. Also to Emily Roscoe. Welcome, Emily. Andrew Ziesel, Regina Reel, Mary Taylor. Welcome aboard, Mary. And Rachel Hirado. Thank you so much. Welcome to the new St. Thomas Institute. You are a mighty, mighty muskox. Enjoy the shows. We just put one up today about the Trinity. And next week, we're going to have the big top heresies about the Trinity. If you don't know the Trinitarian heresies, look out. You might actually believe in one. You not even know it. So you want to learn about these historic heresies, these errors about the Trinity, and make sure that you hold to the Catholic teaching on the Trinity. So members, check that lesson out. It's coming out next Tuesday. Okay, our tip of the week. Tip of the week, I've mentioned it in the early days of the podcast as a collection of tips, but lately I've been getting back into it. You know, it's May right now, and I'm reviewing my goals, and I'm not hitting all the goals. Some of the goals I'm hitting, some of the goals I've surpassed, but many of them I have not hit. I've not completed. And so I'm reviewing what I can do in my life to hit those goals. And as you know, some of my goals relate to health and living a healthy, clean lifestyle. And over the past few weeks, it's getting warmer. I live here in Texas, and I've just noticed myself being drier, thirsty. And I realize my commitment to being hydrated, to drinking lots of water, has gone by the wayside. And so the tip of the week is hydration, drinking lots of water. Now, we've all heard this, but I want to really stress to you how important drinking water is. First of all, water itself was created by Almighty God to be an image or a type of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can live without water. We all need water. God set it up so that every organic thing on planet Earth needs water. And that's a sign to us, it's on the spiritual realm, that we all need the Holy Spirit. None of us can have supernatural life without the Holy Spirit. And because of that principle, it's important that we are always fully hydrated because it affects our mind and our body. And we have to use our mind and our body to become saints, to become holy. So we want to keep it in tip-top shape, right? Just like you want to have fresh oil in your car to keep all the gears and machine parts working well, you need lots of water to hydrate and lubricate everything going on in your body. So you need to drink 2 liters a day. Now, people debate on exactly what it is, but I like to just say 2 liters because you can remember it. All of us know what a 2 liter of Coke or a 2 liter of Dr. Pepper looks like. Don't recommend drinking that, by the way. If you filled one of those up with water, you need to drink all that during every single day. And it's most important to drink it in the morning before you eat. We all wake up a little bit dehydrated, and therefore the best time to get fully hydrated is in the morning before you eat. Whenever you eat, you slow down that process of hydration, okay? If you drink alcohol, you need to cover that with water. So if you have one beer, you need to drink a glass of water as big as that beer, right? So for every ounce of alcohol, you need another cup of water to rehydrate you. Same goes for coffee and caffeinated drinks. Those dry out. If you exercise and you sweat, and you know I'm a big fan of getting sweaty, right? I think it really helps your body to get warm, to get hot. I think it helps oxygenate your brain and also remove toxins from your body. So you got to be exercising every day, getting sweaty. But if you do that, you've got to replace that water. So you'll also have to drink extra water whenever you sweat. And I can tell myself, if I'm dry, in fact, I feel a little drier now, I need a glass of water. Whenever I jog, or I lift weights, I can feel it. I just don't feel as strong. And I know I need water. So if you ever feel that way, just stop and drink a bunch of water. All right. So drink that water, especially as you get in the summer. Drink the water. And you know what? It'll make you look more attractive. You'll have more of a glow on your face. It'll help you lose weight. And it'll help your mental outlook. For those three reasons alone, you should be drinking water. Drink, drink, drink. Stay hydrated. And now, our proverb of the week. It's a special proverb because it's not from the book of Proverbs. It's from the book of Sirach, also known in the Latin as Ecclesiasticus. Not Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiasticus. It's Sirach chapter 32, verse 8. And I got this proverb idea from none other than His Holiness, Pope Francis. No, he didn't call me or email me or hit me on Twitter. I was reading, I've been studying, continually studying his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, Joy of the Gospel. I find it very challenging and very inspirational. And at one point, in paragraph 156, he quotes this passage from Sirach. He's talking to priests and their homilies. And he says, remember the words of Sirach, which goes like this. I'll share it with you now. Quote, speak concisely, say much in few words, end quote. All right? So don't say much, but when you do say something, make sure it's meaningful. That is the gift of a great communicator. Speak concisely, say much in a few words. Now, hopefully I can fulfill that wonderful piece of advice from the Bible and from Pope Francis as we move into our featured segment, Why Children, Why Your Children, Your Grandchildren, Your Nieces and Nephews Need the Virtue of Fortitude, coming up next in our featured segment. Well, some of you know my son, Blaze. That's right, we named him Blaze. Not like the fire, not like Glenn Beck's show, The Blaze. This is Saint Blaze, B-L-A-I-S-E, Blaze. He's a beautiful blonde little boy. He's just so cute and winsome. Those of you that have seen the interview that I did on YouTube, I did an interview in 7 minutes with my seven children, and they were all super cute and charming, but Blaze really stole the hearts of a lot of old women. They just love little Blaze. They want to pinch his cheek. He's so cute. And he says a lot of cute things in that little video. So if you want to see it, go to YouTube. Just search Taylor Marshall interview with children and you can watch that interview. But it was Blaze's third birthday. And Blaze, like, oh, he's going from 2 years old to 3 years old. So he just turned three. And Blaze, like most 3 year olds, is really excited about horses. His two favorite genres are the medieval era and cowboys. He loves cowboys. In fact, if you watch that interview, he mentions his love for cowboy boots, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. He loves any hero who rides the horse, and this breaks it down into the medieval warrior and the Lone Ranger. He loves these archetypes of action. And so for his birthday, we thought, you know, the best celebration that he could have as a three-year-old would be to go to Medieval Times. That's right. We have a Medieval Times here in Dallas, and we've taken, I think all of our kids have been to it before, and we knew that Blaze would love seeing the knights riding on the horses, jousting, sword fighting, the princess, all the drama. We knew he'd love it. So our daughters, who are 11, are so cute. They still don't know that it's not cool to dress up like people in public. So our daughters dress up like princesses in these princess gowns that they have. And Blaze dressed up as a knight. He has this little shirt that's a knight shirt. It kind of goes down mid-thigh, and his grandmother made it for him, and sewn into the chest is St. George slaying the dragon. How cool is that? Then he had a long red cape on, and we tried to get him to put some tights on or some baseball pants or something, but he refused. He wanted to go with nothing beneath his long shirt. He put a belt over it. He cinctured it. It looked really good. But he would not wear anything on his legs. And we realized he was trying to look like a Roman. You know, the Roman soldiers had bare legs, and that's what he wanted. And then he wanted to wear his cowboy boots with that. So just picture a little boy, 3 years old. He has this really cool medieval knight-looking smock on. He belted it. He's got a red cape on, a little crown on his head, and then he's got cowboy boots coming up to his knees. Pretty adorable. And a lot of people were looking at him and smiling, and he thought he looked awesome, and we just let him go with it. You know, he went there, and he had his bare legs showing, and he walked right into the castle in medieval times, like he owned the place. But when he got in, he was a little bit nervous because he started seeing medieval people walking around. And we went into the torture chamber. That was a little bit scary as well. But when the games began and the horses came out, he looked over at me and he smiled big, like ear to ear. And he said, "Dad, this is my birthday." He was triumphant. And we had a good time. We had all the kids with us and the grandparents and my brother and my sister-in-law. And my sister-in-law, Courtney, reported to me that the Blue Knight was exceptionally handsome. She said, "Oh, the Blue Knight looks like Russell Crowe." So I was a bit alarmed when the Blue Knight made eye contact with my wife in the stands and threw her a rose. So basically, I had to wait in the parking lot afterward so that I could beat up the Russell Crowe Blue Knight and teach him a lesson. Unfortunately, he never showed up in the parking lot, so I was not able to fight him. My other daughter also received a prize from a knight. It was fun. We had a good, wonderful time, and it made me ask the question, why do kids like this? Even adults. Why do adults enjoy medieval times? This big spectacle of jousting and fighting and maces and swords and pikes and battle axes and kings and queens and crowns and chivalry and all this whole thing, you know? And it reminds me also of, you know, movies like The Lord of the Rings and, you know, of course, going back to the cowboys, the great westerns. Why is it that people love this genre? And the answer is because it has something to do with the virtue of fortitude. You'll remember that there are four cardinal virtues, and you remember them through peanut butter jelly French toast. Peanut butter jelly French toast. What are you talking about, Taylor? PJFT, prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. PJFT, peanut butter, jelly, French toast. So you always remember prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. That's the traditional order, the Catholic order of the cardinal virtues. We should all know those. We should teach our kids. We should have them tattooed in our brains. We must always know these four cardinal virtues. Of course, there's also the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. To be a great saint, you must cultivate these seven virtues and avoid the seven vices, the seven deadly sins. We give a great treatment on this in the new St. Thomas Institute. If you're a member, don't miss that lesson. It's one of the most popular lessons in the new St. Thomas Institute. It's called Pale Gas: Pride, Anger, Lust, Envy, Gluttony, Avarice, and Sloth. I have all these funny, quirky ways of remembering all this Catholic stuff. It's one of the things we do in the new St. Thomas Institute. And one of them is peanut butter jelly French toast, prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. Now, why do we need fortitude? Well, just think about it for a moment. Marriage requires a great amount of fortitude. When we say fortitude, we mean bravery, courage, endurance. If we don't have bravery, courage, and endurance, we cannot succeed at holy matrimony. Same goes for holy orders. Being a deacon, priest, and especially a bishop requires a great deal of fortitude, bravery, courage, endurance. So if we don't have young people who have cultivated this great gift of fortitude, we're not going to see happy marriages. We're not going to see vocations to the religious life, to the diaconate, to the priesthood, to the episcopate. It's just not going to happen. Also, for younger people, adolescents, doing your homework the right way and on time requires fortitude. Turning your college term paper in, so that's an A+ on time, requires fortitude. Yeah, you have to be smart, but you know, even more than being smart, it requires fortitude, endurance, not giving up when you don't want to keep going. Also, teenagers, young people, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, 40-somethings, standing down peer pressure to have premarital or illicit sexual relations requires fortitude, endurance, strength. If young people do not cultivate fortitude, we will have sexual promiscuity. Waiting till you're married requires fortitude. It's like running a marathon. It is extremely difficult in our culture. And the only way you can do it is if you cultivate the virtue of fortitude. How about having a large family? This entails lack of sleep, long days that begin at 6 a.m. and end at 11 p.m. sometimes, with constant activities. You know what I'm talking about, mothers. You wake up, it begins with nursing, making breakfast, making lunches, taking kids to school, getting your husband out the door, cleaning the house, ironing the clothes, all the laundry, all the folding, picking up the kids, snacks, dinner, goes on and on. Long days, fortitude. And then the weekends are full of activity, baseball games, music, recital, sports. Fortitude. To have a large family requires fortitude. How about this for dads? Working hard, sometimes working two jobs. I've worked two jobs before for the family. It's hard. Endurance, courage, bravery. To be a great souled person, to be a saint, requires this fortitude. And all of us, myself especially, have failed in fortitude. I think back especially when I was in graduate school. I was about halfway through the PhD. I was working two jobs. I was studying, reading, writing papers. I had 4 and 5 children. I was worn out. I wanted to quit. My fortitude was not there. I was not as virtuous as I needed to be. My wife stepped up as the cheerleader and says, "You can do it. You can do it. You can do it." If it weren't for her, it would have never happened, right? So I know what it's like to give up, you know? Having a baby, I remember when Joy was having, I think it was either our first or our fourth child. She was in labor. It was really stressful. And I said to her, "I don't know if I can continue with this." I've never heard the end of that one, I'll tell you that much, right? I think having a baby is really stressful in the guys. My wife always kind of laughs or looks away when I say that, but it's pretty stressful on the man as well, not to say nothing of the stress and labor that our beloved wives go through. But having a baby requires fortitude. And let me tell you, it's not just the labor. I've seen my wife give birth to 7 beautiful children. The last 3 were born at home, right here at our house. And I think, my opinion on this, I'll have to get Joy. Maybe I'll get Joy to do a podcast. Would you like Joy to come on and do a podcast? That'd be fun. Go to the survey. Fill out the survey. Tell me if you think Joy should come on and do a show with us. I think the accumulated discomfort and pain beginning from conception until the birth is equal to or greater than the actual labor pain. all the physical maladies that women experience, from morning sickness to being tired to the hormonal changes to all the discomfort in the last 2 months, especially if it's really hot or really cold, that is tough. That requires a ton of fortitude. It makes women virtuous and it makes them courageous. I can't help but admire a woman when I see her in those final days of pregnancy, because I know what she's going through. It is extremely difficult and it requires a great amount of endurance. Okay, so let's go back to kids, children. Why do children need fortitude? Well, if a child can't endure in the small things, how will the child endure in the big things as he turns 13 and then 16 and then 19 and then 21 and then 25? We need children who are being formed in virtue, but we especially need children who are being formed in fortitude. Of course, kids need to be prudent. They need to make good decisions, and we talk about that a lot. They need to be temperate. We don't talk about that as much. You know, they don't need to be eating tons of Twinkies and just having complete sexual license as soon as they're 15 years old. I think most people can agree with that. And justice, you know, we need to give due, we need to do the right thing, we need to be honest. But fortitude, I think, is one of those virtues that we don't talk much about, and there's a lot of confusion. So how is it that we can instill fortitude in our children? I think it needs to begin before the age of reason, around 7 years old, but really intensely from that time onward. And the most important way to do that is to have children finish projects, finish goals. If they have a paper, they need to finish it. If they've committed to a team with a sport and they don't like it, they must finish their commitment. I remember my first time to ever go to summer camp. I was homesick. I was sad. I was upset. I was with my good friend, and he was sad and upset as well. He called home, and his parents came and picked him up and took him home. And I was there all by myself, feeling even worse. And I was so upset and resentful that my parents didn't care for me because they didn't come and bring me home because I was homesick and upset. But you know what? They told me later, they wanted me to finish what I had committed to. And I'm glad they did, because it opened up decades of, first of all, outdoorsmanship, but also not being afraid, pushing through the fear. It's important for kids to feel the fear, to feel the discomfort, but even more importantly, to feel the great sense of satisfaction that comes with completing a great task. Now, a child, as they have more and more of these opportunities and more victories, becomes progressively more courageous, has more and more virtue. This is what Thomas Aquinas says about virtue. He says a virtue is a good habit. You know, if you just help someone one time, that is not virtuous. Virtuous means that there's a pattern of behavior, a pattern of activity. So if you help an old lady one time, that's not a virtue. If you help an old lady across the street 500 times, you've developed a virtue. So every time something difficult comes your way, something that makes you a little bit afraid, something you think, I'm not good enough, I don't have what it takes to do this, but you push through and you accomplish it, every time you do that, you become a little bit more virtuous. You grow a little bit more every time in fortitude. And that's what we have to set up for our kids. We don't want to set them up to be terrified and to fail. We, being prudent parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends, adults, teachers, sponsors, godparents, know their limits and can help them in this way. But too often, we think kids always need the easy way. You know, we don't want to take them to a funeral because seeing a dead relative might scar them for life. Well, you know what? Children went to funerals for hundreds of years, and it made them courageous. It's a good thing to see a loved one, even when they're deceased. It's a good lesson to learn about death and the afterlife and prayers for the dead and heaven and purgatory and hell. All of that. Some of it makes us uncomfortable, but we have to come to terms with it, because then we will become virtuous, right? Now, another thing that we need to do for our kids is we have to give them a supernatural outlook, and this is something we must do for ourselves. Maybe you weren't raised in a home where virtue was taught. It's okay. God knows that. He's got a plan for you. He's going to start you right now. It's okay, right? There's no penalty for that. You're going to start now. But in order to do that, in order for your children to be virtuous, they have to have a supernatural outlook. Now, what does that mean? Your worldview must be theological. Your outlook must not look at the horizon of this earth, but look upward above the horizon to heaven, to the throne room of God, where God the Father rules and at his right hand is the Son of God, bearing the wounds of our redemption in his hands, his feet, and his side, and the Holy Spirit flutters with grace. And there is Mary and all the saints and the martyrs who showed us what it means to be courageous, what it means to have fortitude. Okay, so that has to be the worldview. And the reason that has to be your worldview or your supernatural outlook is that the rewards in this life, as it relates to fortitude, are not always obvious. For example, when I was at that camp and I wanted to go home, the immediate reward was air conditioning, food I liked, and being back with my friends and family. So the reward seemed obvious. Go home. But there was a reward, there was a benefit beyond that that I could not grasp as a child, and that was enduring food I didn't like, being hot, sweating in my tent at night, and being with new people that I didn't know, challenging me to make new friends. All of those skills, from a supernatural point of view, far outweigh being back home in the air conditioning, as you can see. And this has to do with every part of your life as you grow older. For example, being married can be difficult at times, but the benefit to enduring and loving your spouse, even when they're not being lovable, far outweigh the benefits of going through a divorce or committing adultery or any of the other options there. Because we believe in a heaven and a hell. We know that any evil, any hardship that we suffer in this life, God will never be outdone in grace and mercy. He will always give us a greater reward than we could ever imagine. Right? Our Lord talks about how he goes before us to make mansions in heaven. So our endurance, our fortitude will always be paid out in greater dividends than we can imagine. And therefore, when we're in this life, sometimes we think, you know what? I wish I wasn't married to this person. I wish I didn't have 10 kids. I wish I had a different job. I wish I didn't live in this area. I wish I didn't have this physical disease. I wish I didn't have these allergies. I wish I didn't have this hardship in my life. I wish I didn't have this person in my life. And yet, God knows all those things. He's aware of it all. And he's standing there waiting to give us the virtue of fortitude. You know, there's a lot of things we could pray for that perhaps are not in the will of God. Like, God, I really want a Ferrari. You know, maybe that's not what God wants to give me. But I do know this. He does want to pour out a greater measure of fortitude in my life. So we must always pray and ask to receive this gift of fortitude. So to kind of loop back here, how can we get our children in a mode of fortitude? Well, first of all, finish those unfinished projects. Endure and complete the task you've committed to. Secondly, you need a supernatural outlook. The rewards in this life don't always seem obvious, right? You might want to give up. You might want to commit adultery. You might want to quit the only job that you have. You may want to do something stupid about your health or about your body, but there's a greater benefit in the supernatural world, and we must always look to that. We must always realize that we will stand before Christ and be accountable for what we have done, what we have said, and what we have thought in this life. But of course, He is full of mercy and always ready and willing to give us the grace and mercy to endure these great moments. And then third, we must pray and ask for this gift of fortitude. And if we do these three things, especially with our children, we will see a renewal in the culture. We will see a renewal in our nations, in our neighborhoods, and in our families. Because when people, once again, become habituated to virtue, we're going to see strong marriages. We're going to see vocations to the priesthood. We're going to see vocations to the religious life. We're going to see people doing great things in their field of work because they endure against hardship and against those who say you can never do that. Our political system will be different. Our church will be different. Everything will change if we can instill fortitude in ourselves and in our children. I want to close with that scene from The Passion of the Christ. You'll remember after he's scourged, he carries the cross. And you see that scene where Our Lady runs to him. He's fallen down. There's a flashback where she sees Jesus as a small child. And she comes to him and says, "I'm here, I'm here, I'm here." And then his face is turned away. It's like he's looking up at Calvary. He's looking up at us for our salvation. And he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And he stands up with that supernatural strength under the wood of the cross, and he begins to carry the cross forward. Christ has a plenitude of fortitude. He wants to share it with us. He wants to give us that gift, and he's not going to withhold it. He wants to pour it out on you. So take comfort, be excited, and realize that this day is the beginning of a new path for you in the virtue of fortitude, the virtue of courage, bravery, endurance, and strength. Today is a new day. You will begin to grow. Just look for it in your life, ask for those graces, and keep your eyes fixed on Him as you endure. He will not only give you the graces, He will reward you in a way that you could have never imagined. And now we go to our saint of the week, a young girl who was filled with fortitude. Coming up next. Her name was Saint Agnes. She was a Roman girl. We think she was about 13 years old when she suffered for Jesus Christ. She became a martyr when she was in the first year of her teenage years. She had made a promise, a vow, to never stain her holy purity before Christ. For love of Jesus Christ, she decided to consecrate her virginity, her sexuality, to God and be all pure for Him. Now, there weren't necessarily convents for young girls like this, but in the history of the church, there have been young ladies who have done this. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. They take Christ as their spouse, and eventually, in the church now, they become what we call sisters or nuns. But during that time, the governor's son became extremely angry when this beautiful girl named Agnes refused his hand in marriage. He had tried to win her for his wife with rich gifts and promises, but this beautiful young teenager kept saying, "I already have a spouse, and he is the Lord of the universe. He is more splendid than the sun and the stars, and he has said he will never leave me." So this young man accused her of being a Christian, because at this time it was illegal to confess Jesus Christ as Kurios, or as Lord. And therefore he brought her before his father, who was the governor. Now, the governor wanted to see this resolved, and he wanted his son to have this beautiful young girl as his wife. And so he began to promise Agnes all sorts of worldly gifts if she would just deny Jesus Christ and marry his son. But she refused. He tried to change her mind by putting her in chains. But instead she sang with joy. She endured. She had fortitude. She was courageous, even at this young age of 13. So the governor realized that she could not be persuaded with gifts. She could not be persuaded with chains. And so he decided to persuade her with shame. She boasted of her great love for Jesus and her purity. And so he had her taken to a brothel, a whorehouse, a place of ill repute, for her to be violated. But the accounts say an angel protected her from men, protected her virginity, and so she was condemned to death. And even the pagans of Rome cried aloud when they saw such a young and beautiful and pure girl walking out to meet her death. And yet Agnes was full of joy, just as a bride is on her wedding day and glowing with beauty. She did not pay attention to those who begged to save herself, to deny Jesus Christ, and said, she said, it would offend my spouse, Jesus Christ. If I were to please you, I would offend my spouse. He chose me first, and he shall have me. So she prayed, she bowed her head, and then the death stroke fell, the sword cut off her head, and she went immediately to meet her spouse, Jesus Christ. Saint Agnes, model of fortitude, pray for us. Well, the Latin word of the week was easy to choose. It is fortitudo, fortitudo. It means fortitude, but in Latin it also has the sense of firmness, being firm, valor, courage, and strength. It has all that wrapped together. Firmness, valor, courage, and strength. And of course, it comes from fortis, which means strength. So at the root of this word is strength. And we all need that supernatural strength. And we can only get that from Jesus Christ. We can't get it from Buddha. You know, we can't get it from Muhammad. We can only get it from Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And all true strength, just like we saw in the life of St. Agnes, flows from the heart of Jesus, because he is the mighty one, the holy one, the mighty one, the immortal one. He is the fountain of divine mercy. So find your fortitude, find your strength, find your valor in Jesus Christ. Well, just a reminder, you can get the free book, Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages, over at taylormarshall.com. So if you haven't done that, please go ahead and get that free book as a gift to you. And also, I want to thank everyone who rated the podcast, this show, on iTunes in the past week. I'm going to give a shout out to Vic Prieto, Brainham, Fighting Ilinji, Caius Depomopper J, and Jay Chup. Thank you, Five, for leaving a 5-star review and a review. And if you'd be so kind, I'd really appreciate it if you would do me the favor, go over to iTunes and search in the search bar, Taylor Marshall Show. The show will pop up and you can leave a rating and please say something nice. The reason I ask that is it helps people find the show. And lately there have been a lot more people finding this show. So thank you so much. I'm indebted to all of you who have said something nice and left great reviews. And while you're there, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast. It's free, of course, and it comes out every Wednesday. Well, let's conclude by making a personal resolution. How can you be more courageous in your daily life, the life that God gave you? Decide right now, maybe get out a sheet of paper and write it down. If you're keeping that Moleskine book that I recommended from the last show, get that out and write it down in there as like a little journal. How can you show more fortitude in your life as a father, a mother, employee, Catholic, a religious, a priest, a single person? Where are you the weakest, and how can you get into this battle with four fortitude. How can you grow? Ask Christ every day for the next 7 days to give you fortitude in this area of your life, and then begin to complete what you need to complete in your life in that category. Make baby steps every day. Try it for 7 days and see if you don't grow in fortitude. Make that your focus. And I'd love to hear back from you. Maybe share your progress with us. Go to taylormarshall.com, click on weekly podcast, go to episode 35. You can leave a comment there or a question. I look forward to engaging with you there and learning about your progress in fortitude. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Thank you.